And so we have that confession of faith before us this morning to declare the truth to which we've been called. And we have an opportunity today to celebrate those truths in our own hearts and lives. We've been through the last few weeks some very special celebrations with each other in the life of our Lord. We celebrated the mystery of Jesus ascending in that resurrected, glorified body to take his place at the Father's right hand and there to intervene and rule for us at the Father's right hand in his sovereign grace and his mercy for us. We've celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, alighting like flames on the tops of the disciples' heads. And we've celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives when we were claimed by the Lord in the waters of baptism, our hearts set on fire in the passion of a love for Jesus. And last Sunday, we celebrated the mystery of the Trinity and what this means for us then as people who know the grace and the love of a Father who would send his one and only Son, and the sacrifice of that Son for us, our salvation, and that he would send the Holy Spirit to claim us then as people of the kingdom, as inheritors of all that is rightly Jesus now is shared with us. And one day, as we look forward to the coming back of Jesus the Messiah, where all things are made new, then we'll know completely these mysteries and the kingdom of God. But right now, we wrestle with these mysteries, the understanding of how to live them out. And maybe for many of us, that's kind of what stewardship is like for us. It's hard, and we wrestle, and we're not perfect with it. I don't manage life and all of its resources the way the Lord God wants me to, wants my family to. I struggle with that. And yet we're called and reminded again in these weeks of our holy calling in the life as a steward. If you were with us last Sunday, you remember me talking about that Memorial Day weekend when I was a kid and the pool had opened and I was bound and determined to jump off the high dive, right? And to take that first plunge that I had seen older kids do, now is my turn. And taking that trek up the steps and walking out to the end and looking down, boy, that seemed like a long ways. And wondering what it was going to be like to step off that high dive and take that plunge. Well, you also know that after one time, I wanted to do it again. And so I kept doing that. Well, there was something else then that I discovered. That between the low dives and the high dive was the lifeguard post. And the lifeguard post was higher than the high dive. Well, now there's a new challenge before me. And so during swimming lessons those next summers, I would see the older kids not just jump off the high dive, but jump off that lifeguard stand. Well, I wanted to do that too. But it was much higher. And I knew that hitting the water would be a little bit more difficult. I had to go in at a more straight than I had done off the high dive maybe. And I would go down further in the water and had to hold my breath longer. And again, a lot of questions. Didn't know what it was like. Maybe stewardship for you and me is like that. We're ready to take the next step off the lifeguard stand. Maybe for some of us here today, stewardship is like that high dive. I just need to climb up there and take that plunge. And quite frankly, maybe for some of us, stewardship is like just simply jumping in the pool off of the pool deck. I get that. We're at different places in our stewardship life and journey. And the Lord challenges us to take that plunge, whether it's off the deck, the high dive, or the lifeguard chair, to trust him in all of this as he's provided. Maybe it comes down then for you and I to wrestle with a question in our hearts that we hear the Pharisees wrestling with Jesus today. This question we would maybe pose this way. What stewardship, in other words, what does stewardship look like in me that would be pleasing to you, O Lord? What does stewardship, the managing of life and all of its resources, look like in my life that it would be pleasing to you, Lord. Not necessarily easy for me, not necessarily a repetition of old habits for me, and not something even that I'm comfortable with, but that's pleasing to you, O Lord. Maybe this was the question in the hearts of the Pharisees when we hear this account with Jesus. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along, and they began to pick some of the heads of the grain. Now, it was against the law to manage life and its resources in certain ways on the Sabbath, according to the Old Testament law. But Jesus and his disciples apparently were hungry, and they needed something to eat. And so they began to pick the grains as they walked through this field, which was against the law. We're not managing life and all of its resources by the law. We manage life and all of its resources as stewards of God's, all the blessings that the Lord God has given to us, by grace, by his mercy, by his compassion known towards us. But at that time, in that moment, these Pharisees were wrestling with this question. What does stewardship look like as it's pleasing to you, Lord? In chapter 3, verse 1, we go on where Jesus is there another Sabbath, and Jesus went into the synagogue, and there was a man with a shriveled hand. And he asks them in the presence of the synagogue, is it better to do evil or do good on the Sabbath? Again, to do something like Jesus is going to do with the man with the shriveled hand, that is, heal him, was part of the law of which Jesus was acting against, even though it was for good, according to the Pharisees. And so as we take a look at what Jesus is doing and how he's seeking to manage life as the Messiah, as Jesus, the Lord, in the management of all the resources the Father's given him in his life, like the power to heal a shriveled hand, or to help bring the light of the truth before people of what was made for, was man made for the Sabbath or Sabbath for the man? What one of the things that we see reflected then in the lives of the Pharisees is a Pharisaical stewardship of the law. Is that godly stewardship? Would we want to respond in the Lord's grace and goodness by the law or by something else that moves us as God's people in a joyful response and an opportunity to give to him because he's first given to us? Isn't there something else that defines us? But many of us, myself included, allow the law to define stewardship instead of the power of Christ raised from the dead and living in us. When the law is put in place for us, like the Pharisees were seeking to act in Jesus' life, then stewardship simply becomes something that I'm being coerced into. That's not of the kingdom of God. But maybe you're sensing that a little bit. Am I being coerced? If I'm being coerced, that's the law at work, not a joyful response of faith and grace. Or maybe sometimes stewardship, it feels like it's a forced way of living. Is that of God's kingdom and blessing, or is that of the law? If I'm sensing that I'm being forced, then I need to reflect on why I'm sensing that. Is this me or some kind of sinful bit in my nature that's making me think this way? Sometimes we feel maybe our stewardship and managing of life and its resources is driven by guilt. That good old German gift that keeps on giving, right? Yeah. It's not guilt that drives us. No. Guilt is of the law. And maybe it's even a begrudgingness. Well, all right. I'll manage life, Lord, and its resources, but I'm doing so begrudgingly here. Ah, friends, brothers and sisters, that's of the law. That is not what we are about as the Lord calls us today to take another step in our stewardship life. We love, we give, we manage, we steward life and all of its resources simply and only because he, our Heavenly Father, has first loved us, has first given to us, has first managed his kingdom for our sake and our blessing, so that in Christ Jesus we might be forgiven and this law driven away from us, crucified with Christ, and the new being of you and me in the raised, risen from the dead Jesus, now living a life that reflects a stewardship, a management of life and its resources that is of the kingdom. That is of the truth to which Jesus told the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We live here by grace and we move and have our being by the kingdom defining us as grace-filled, spirit-empowered people. So the Son of Man is even the Lord of the Sabbath. To have a relationship in Jesus Christ, to know Him as Lord and Savior as you do, is to know that He's Lord of every bit and morsel of life, even the Sabbath day, even the law and the gospel, then, which moves and motivates us and empowers us. And empowers us with a mentality and a heart and a desire and a longing to know and express that Jesus is Lord of my stewardship. Yes, I want to answer that question. Is my stewardship pleasing to you, Lord? I want to answer that question with a yes. Yes, Heavenly Father, I'm doing the best that you've called me to be as your child. Yes, I'm seeking to be faithful to you. Am I all the time? No, but I want to grow. I want to climb up that high dive. I want to take that jump off the deck of the pool. I want to go for the lifeguard chair. So challenge me, Lord, and move me in these ways that reflect all that you've done for me, given to me, all that's mine because of Christ the Lord who lives in me. Be the Lord of my stewardship in these ways. And Paul was seeking to lead the Corinthians in these ways. You heard Scott share this reading with us this morning. We preach not ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord of the Sabbath, of my heart, of my wallet, of my attitude, of all that He's been given me, of everything, time, and the blessings of spiritual gifts and abilities that I get to express unto His praise and glory. Jesus is Lord of all of that. And so as Jesus is my Lord of my stewardship, we know that it's because of His grace given to me. The only reason, the only opportunity we have a chance to respond in ways that are pleasing to the Lord is because of His grace. Not I, but Christ who lives in me. Why, as a steward, would I want to take the next step and the challenge of jumping off the lifeguard stand if it weren't for Christ in me, moving me to take this challenge and use it for His glory? Or, as Paul would say to the Corinthians in the Spirit speaking here, we are servants for Jesus' sake, right? Servants. We live and move and have our being for the pleasure of our Lord. We don't live for ourselves. We live for Him. And so with Jesus as my Lord, the stewardship in my life is expressed in a willing lifestyle of servanthood. All that I manage then is for the glory of the God, my God, and the blessing of my neighbor, because I know in all of these things, the Lord's going to take care of me. I can trust Him. He's proven Himself in these ways. So I live as a servant. And again, as the Spirit goes on, for the Lord God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts. Yes, this truth of the gospel, the good news, is where we live and how we respond then. With Jesus as Lord of my stewardship, I'm glad to manage life and its resources for His praise. I'm glad to do that, Lord. I'm glad to bring before you today my commitments of life and all of its resources that are simply stated on this simple little form. You see some forms already in here today, some commitment forms. We gathered some of those yesterday at our curbside communion. People were glad to give those unto the Lord today. They couldn't be here in person, but they wanted to have them part of our expression. And so with you, Sue and I and Sam, we're glad You are too, to bring these commitment forms unto the Lord today, which we'll have an opportunity to do in just a minute. Because we know this is to the praise and the glory of Him in saying, Lord, lead me off the platform into the water, off the high dive, off the lifeguard chair, as we take these next steps as your stewards, to show that this all-surpassing power is from the Lord our God, not from me, not from our hearts, not from a stewardship ministry team or a pastor saying this is what we ought to do, but because I want to. I want to express this, Lord, in gratitude of my heart for all that I am in you. For Jesus, you are Lord of my stewardship. And so I exercise stewardship with a cheerful heart. A cheerful heart. Unto you, the praise and the glory of our saving God, who loves us and gives us an opportunity to express ourselves in these ways. Those of you who are online with us this morning, if you don't have a commitment form and you'd like one, please let me know, and I'll email one to you. These are private, and so as in a moment here, we'll come forward while we sing our hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. I would invite you to come forward, put your commitment form, fold it in half, and put your commitment form in the offering plate, something like this. This is Sue and mine. No one's going to look at this. This is private. This is between you and the Lord. And as you have opportunity to place this unto His hands and the commitment of your life as a steward, you want to spend some time here at the communion rail praying, please feel free to do that. If you need a commitment form, they're on the back table. And so while we're singing, go ahead and grab one. You might not have time to fill it all out, but you can come back and give it at another time. There'll be a box in the back where we'll gather them. If you have yours today, come and let's celebrate the stewardship of life that we have in all of its resources for the glory of our saving God in the grace that we know in Christ Jesus. Let's sing too. Come and take my